Chapter 1. Hearken now, and hear my tale. In the early days of Bronbad, when mountains stood as barriers and rivers as unyielding foes, the people of the town faced a great divide. The massive chasm that separated Bronbad from distant lands was a testament to nature's dominance. But Lysander, a man of the tribes with a clever mind and powerful hands, would not accept nature's dominion. He called upon the power of his tribe, not through magic, but with the shared bonds of kinship. For years they toiled, dredging the river and building strong pillars to hold aloft the mightiest bridge the Blutben had ever seen. It was whispered that when the last stone was laid, even the winds and the waters below paused in reverence. Legends of Bronbad. Bronbad stank of death. Corpses still lay in the streets. Now a day old, they had bloated in the sun and reeked of stale blood and carrion meat. Neera drew rein on the edge of the lower Tultan River, the stench of voided bowels and tragedy so strong it lingered on her tongue. She touched the Soa charms, murmuring a prayer to the gods as her heart wrenched with sorrow. The shattered edges of the bridge for which the town was famous hung over the banks of the river. In the centre, the water still flowed past the unnatural crater where the weasel Dusang spirit had been born, where Naira had killed Vishad. That thought displaced the sorrow and grief, filling her with a fierce satisfaction. The man who had tortured Darasaya, who had put a price on Naira's head, who claimed her very existence was anathema, was dead. She glanced to her left, where Duchess Claire de la Roche turned her mount in a slow circle, taking in gutters choked with the dead. People sloshed through the stagnant water, loading the corpses into handcarts and wheeling them away. Giant blocks of masonry that had once made up the massive bridge impeded their way, men cursing as they worked around the obstacles. "Can we clean this up?" Naira asked. "Habiers will make quick work of lifting those stones. Or is there some delicate political balance that will be upset by helping these people?" Red hair glinted as Claire shook her head. "I'll offer my assistance to the deputy mayor. If he doesn't accept, I'll send chevaliers without their sashes." Her hand dropped to her tassels of her own purpura sash. "Come." The chevaliers of her honour guard fell in to either side of the women, azure sashes cutting across their light blue tunics. Townsmen shuffled out of the way, insolence in every slow step. Eyes turned to follow Naira and Claire as they rode through the town, suspicion glittering in the hard gazes. "Do they blame us?" Naira murmured. Claire rolled her shoulders. "Their mayor was sacrificed, their bridge exploded, their loved ones are dead, and there's a hole in their river. We're the only ones left to blame." Neera nodded her understanding as the death-filled centre gave way to quiet the streets where carts had already visited. Guilt reared its ugly head as the red stream of power flowed from the town to the north in her memories. Bryce Renard had killed thousands, perhaps tens of thousands, before they'd broken the spell. Could she have been faster to shatter the circle of runes? Her thumb found the wound where the rune blade had bitten into her back. They had acted as fast as they could. Her guilt would help no one, and she set it aside. The streets around the bridge also had the physical devastation to contend with, and the Trollcarl's spell had spared none in the boundaries of the town. anyone who held allegiance to Mayor Kinzel, any citizen of his town, was a potential victim of the spell, and many had succumbed. The artificial hill formed by the ancient graves of Bronbad loomed ahead of them. Perched atop it, the Veroan monastery glared down, an ominous reminder that Vishad might be dead, but his religion lived on. Neira's fingers lingered on the sower charms of the left-hand god as they crossed the shadow of her enemy. She stared at the building, remembering the fight in the library. Flames licked along the long line of bookcases in her mind's eye, the hair on her arms singeing in the heat. "No evidence of a fire from here," she said. Claire glanced up. "No," her lips quirked. "They were calling for sand when we ran. I hope they saved the books." Before Neira could reply, they passed under a stone archway and into the courtyard of the mayor's residence. Yellow daylilies drooped in the circular flower bed, even their shining heads tired after the attack. They dismounted, passing the reins to one of the honor guard. Shallow steps led up to a heavy door bound in intricate latticework, which swung open at their approach. The portal framed a short man, the complex knotwork decorating his tunic, echoing the lattice of the door. "Your Grace, the mayor is ready for you." Claire inclined her head and the servant led them into the foyer. This time, there was no waiting. He guided them through the house to the same pleasant room where Kinzel had received them. The ribbon artwork still shaped a red fox on the low table, sable strands forming its pretty black mask. But Kinzel was dead, slain by Vishard's hand to pull the power of Bronbad's people to Lumios. Another man awaited them. His ash-blonde hair fell to his shoulders in a curly mess, and his clothes hung in dishevelled rumples from his shoulders. A golden torque lay snug against his throat, its glittering cleanliness out of place against his haggard face. "Your Grace, Your Holiness," he bowed from the neck and waved them to sit. "I am deputy..." He swallowed the word, and the shadows around his eyes deepened. "I am Mayor Petrus. How can I help you?" The reverse. Claire sat on a wing chair. "I am here to offer my help." A suspicious glint shone in his gaze. "The rumors say you were there when the mayor died." He fingered the torque around his neck. "Could you tell me what happened?" Claire took a deep breath, tense lines spanning around her mouth. The wheel's champion slew Mayor Kinzel in a troll car ritual. Because all in Bronbad owed Kinzel their loyalty, it tugged on their Ilamar, on their very life force, and fed that power to Bryce Renard in Lumios. Her green eyes met Naira's gaze, and the memory of the bridge shattering danced between them. Neira looked away as Claire continued. "This action birthed a Dusang spirit who now lives in a cave under your river. Her Holiness and I went into the cave. We broke the spell which was drawing the life and power from your people, and we slew Vishad." Petrus's mouth hung open as he stared at her. "What?" Neira leaned forward and touched his hand, her skin very dark against his tan colouring. "It's a lot to take in. We tried to save Mayor Kinzel, but we were too late. I am sorry for your loss, for all who were lost yesterday." He looked at her with glazed grey eyes. "A Dusang spirit?" "Yes." Claire quirked her brows as the puzzled frown on his face deepened. "As in the spirits that teach the ducal line's children Dusang magic during the trial of Dusang." "But we're not a..." "You may not be a duchy, but you have a Dusang spirit and cave." She flicked her fingers in an impatient gesture. "There is a weasel spirit that lives below the river, and someone should bond with it and learn its secrets. but it is dangerous to interact with the Dusang spirits, so I would suggest putting a guard on the cave until we know more. She gave him an evaluating look. I can provide chevaliers for that if you wish. However, the Dusang spirit is of secondary consideration, given the magnitude of the tragedy that occurred here. She unhooked the tassels from her sash and laid them on the table. Without incurring any obligation to the sash, I stand ready to aid you with all the resources I can bring to bear. Pietrus narrowed his eyes. Vishad killed Kinzel? You would attest to this before a Rechtspreker? He glanced at Naira. You too? Yes, Naira steepled her fingers. I swear before the wheel and in the light of the gods, Vishad killed Kinzel in the middle of the bridge, and his blood flowed into the metal ruins that powered the spell. Petrus's head turned toward the Varroan monastery and his breath hissed past stiff lips. The monks! I'll seize their lands for this! He smiled, a bitter lift of the lips that did not touch his eyes. We still owe the Duke of Etendulat his tribute. Naira sucked in her breath as she thought of the books in the monastery library. She and Claire exchanged a quick glance. Your Honor, I would offer you a very fair price to the monastery library, Claire said, or the right to make copies of all the works contained therein. Petrus's gaze sharpened. Why? I have ever collected knowledge, Claire said. The library here is the only one that rivals my own. Stubble rasped as he rubbed across his chin. I'll think on it. In the meantime, I'll take you up on the offer of chevaliers. A bitter twist marred his lips. I suppose their consang skills might as well be useful for something. Claire inclined her head and rose, hooking her tassels back onto her sash. Then we'll leave you to your day. My chevaliers will report to you for duty before the end of the day's second. Naira dismounted with a grateful sigh. The Laurotian embassy lay 2 bells' ride out of Bronbad, as she reckoned time, though the Lumiarees would say it lay a nub out of town. She handed her reins to a groom and wondered if she'd ever get used to telling time by the candle, rather than the water clock. As though to remind her of home, the fountain in the manor house courtyard played a merry, tinkling tune. Ilmarin, Claire's ambassador to Bronbad town, bustled up, his auburn hair glinting in the afternoon sunlight. Your Holiness, you have a visitor. Naira raised her brows. I do? Yes, indeed. Goodwife Hilda. She is waiting in the solar. Naira frowned at the title. A priestess of the goddess, and not one she knew. Their enemies had used a false merchant to attack them, and the memory of Claire's heels drumming on the road gave Naira a droplet's pause. I don't know that name. I have guards stationed with her. Ilmarin's hand touched the red and blue tassels of his sash. Do you think she might be an assassin? Claire's eyes narrowed. Let's see her together. Dark shadows dappled on her fingers as she called her magic to her hands. If she is a priestess, well and good. If she is a Varroan assassin, aim to capture rather than kill. I have many questions. Naira reached deep within herself, beyond her blood and bones, and pulled her Ilamar up. Her skin thickened into hard scales, armoring her body. She nodded once, and Ilmarin led them past the yellow door with its bronze latticework. The entrance hall gave way to the large solar with a giant snowflake banner hanging on the back wall. A woman waited before the dais, her back turned to the room, her gaze directed out of the window. White hair hung in a neat braid down the back of her blue robe, cutting a straight line across the strap of a leather satchel. 4 chevaliers in their light blue tunics and azure sashes stood close to her, within sword's reach, but not within arm's length. Neera cleared her throat and the woman turned. Age drew heavy lines around her grey eyes. She smiled, an expression that seemed to fit her well, and bowed. Your Holiness. Good wife. Neera kept her armor on as she walked closer, rushes crunching underfoot. I do not believe I know you. No, Holiness. Goodwife Hilda held up her hands, palms open. I am from the Hidden Council. Neera stopped midway across the floor, the fragrance of lavender surrounding her. The Hidden Council had ruled the faith of the three in Lumiaron for centuries. That ended when Neera arrived in answer to the prophecy they had guarded for millennia. She had not been expecting a new liaison. You'll forgive me if I don't just take your word for that. Yes, of course. Hilda flipped open her satchel and slowly extracted a scroll. A letter from Goodwife Sigmund. A chevalier took the scroll and handed it back to Neera. She let her armor fade around her hands. The scales made it awkward to handle items as delicate as paper. She frowned at the tightly written script. Though she had learned the spoken language of the Empire, she still struggled with their writing. Claire held out her hand. May I verify that for you? Thank you. Neera handed it over with a quick, grateful smile. Claire read the text and turned to Neera. It seems in order. There's a personal note at the bottom which is from Sigmund and speaks of your first encounter with her. One red eyebrow arched. She says Tahil asked if she still had her balls. Neera laughed past a pang of sorrow at the memory of meeting the Evoy priest. The empty places of her husband's to her right and left ached, but she could not afford to miss them now. She pushed aside her worry over their safety and released her armor. Well met, Goodwife Hilda. She turned to the Duchess. Can we find room for one more? Of course. Claire nodded to Ilmarin, who beckoned to a page. The room next to yours is free, Holiness, and will be prepared. Thank you. Neera inclined her head. Goodwife, would you like to wait in my room? Yes, please. The elderly woman followed Neera up the stairs with a spry step. Servants bustled through the corridor as they entered the well-appointed bedroom. Fresh rushes released the lemony scent of sweet flag grass, filling the room with a ghost of summer. The wine-red canopy over the bed and comfortable armchairs snuggling by the hearth warmed the space. Neera took a deep breath, her shoulders relaxing, and waved for Hilda to be seated. Something to drink. Cider, please. Making a face, Neera poured from the jug on the sideboard tucked in underneath the windowsill. Lumia Rees and their cider. She poured a cup of wine for herself and sat by the hearth. I'm glad you're here. There are a slew of events unfolding in Bronbad that require local knowledge. Hilda nodded and sipped at her drink. I'm happy to serve in such a capacity, Holiness. But that's not why I came. Oh? An uneasiness haunted Naira's tightening chest. No, Scales of the Desert. Neera sucked her Ilamar to just below her skin at the mention of the prophetic name. Had she been too quick to accept this woman? Hilda's eyes remained calm and she tapped the satchel. In here is the full prophecy that we have been guarding all these centuries, copied onto paper by our best artists. The original texts are preserved in clay. I can send for them, should you have need. The room spun for a droplet as Neera struggled to make sense of the words. What are you talking about? We didn't just have one or two fragments of prophecy, Holiness. We have 24 tablets. She smiled, the crow's feet around her eyes crinkling. Forgive us the deception, but we had to wait to be sure it truly was you before revealing all our knowledge. Neera drew a breath down to the bottom of her lungs and let it whistle out. I suppose I can understand that. What does this prophecy say? Hilda shook her head, a lot, and much of it obscured by time and translation. She handed over a sheaf of papers. Can you read our tongue? I have our translation and an imprint of the original scripts. I read Lumiere's, but poorly. Neera rifled through the stack, stopping at a script she recognized. And this I also read, but equally poorly. This tongue is as old as the conflict that drove your ancestors from Kisangi. She leaned back in her chair. It is Fidara, the language which became temple tongue. Her hand shook as she stared at the pages in her lap. She met Hilda's eyes, and the weight of prophecy bore down on her once more. The goddess had called Neera here with a command to find her. That task still lay undone. What Neera had found instead was a hidden faith that cast her in the role of savior. Staring into Hilda's grey eyes, Neera's soul roiled under the steady regard of an ardent disciple, staring at a prophesied hero. She had been summoned to this northern empire to find the goddess. Determination tamed the turbulence in Neera's soul. There would be a way to find the divine will in all of this. She smiled at Hilda, doubts washed away by faith's certainty. Let's begin. I have much to understand before I can play my part in the goddess's plan.